It's January 28th, 2018. I feel like I've said 17 in the past. You're listening to Fancy Ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Scott.
Was that
sorry, I thought I was going last.
No, I go last since I'm so far away.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, I can't read everybody in the room, so I just have to assume that I take a back seat.
It's all good.
Well, being as we're a podcast that's mostly about video games, why don't we talk about things that aren't video game related to begin with?
Oh no. Well, Cookie and I just binge watch a show on Netflix called The End of the Fucking World. Except it's...
Oh, yeah. I watched that too with Sierra recently.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little sad.
It was surprisingly well written, I think.
Yeah, it's entertaining and
it
very
is
kind
so
of
sad,
funny
though.
Show. Yeah, it is. It's also tragic. Yeah. It is a emotional bundle for sure. Yeah.
Netflix original?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, based off of the graphic novel titled the same thing.
It's good though.
Oh, there we go.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but
the world ends though.
But there's probably no season two.
Yeah, probably no season two.
Best spoiler you can give.
Yeah. Ugh. It's crazy.
But it was good. It's not that there's not going to be a season two, like, because it's as bad as the American Death Note.
Right.
No, it's that it is wrapped up.
Right.
More
they
or less.
Wrapped it up pretty much.
It has a conclusion. It is a single one-off series and it's worth watching and I found it pretty enjoyable.
Yeah. It was interesting.
So Scott, what have you been doing aside from playing games?
I actually haven't played very many games and I haven't done much at all. I've lived a very boring life this week. I've been really busy with work. So really all I've done that's worth talking about or that is even notable is I went snowboarding yesterday all day and that was a blast.
Jealous.
I think I was out for 6.5 hours, maybe 7. And it was snowing the whole time. Just beautiful day, like powder. And I got to really get back into the swing of things. Like it takes me probably a day or two of snowboarding to get back to where I was the end of the season beforehand. And so I'm finally at that stage and I'm really happy about it. But that's it. Like I haven't done shit, honestly. We can skip me.
As you've had the most interesting week out of us all.
Yeah, all I did was snowboard. That's not that exciting.
That's so fun.
That is exciting.
I was chased after by wolves. Okay. I had my own sort of the long dark experience. I left an old woman to die after I buried her daughter. On one ordinary snowboarding trip.
Yeah, one simple Saturday.
Did the two of you, Lizzie, Cookie, do anything aside from... Or do anything notable aside from watching that series?
Did we? Besides
worked.
Playing games? Yeah. Worked, play games. It was actually nice enough to take Ollie on a couple walks this week, so.
It hasn't been completely icy and snowy out.
Right.
And then
no
as
stream.
Soon as we start recording, it's snowing now. So.
Yeah. Right.
Great.
No stream this week.
That's fine. That is fine. I'm sure the zeroth person or zero people that are watching now are very sad.
We had one viewer.
Last week?
No, this week.
Oh.
Just right now.
Was it you? Because you were watching on the iPad?
I don't think so.
Excuse me.
But either way, we weren't picking up our audio again.
Nah.
Yeah, so, oh well. Interesting things done this week. I started listening to the audiobook The Magicians.
Oh yeah.
I think I've heard this before or heard about magicians before.
That's a show on Sci-Fi that I'm actually really liking.
Which is is this the source material for that series?
Loosely.
Okay.
Based off of what I've heard of the first book of The Magicians. Yeah. Not going to finish it. the audiobook, The Magicians. It's very different from the show. The show likes to is taking like a really dark, gritty approach, and their characters are kind of weirdly more fleshed out than so far of what I've listened to in the book. And the book's like trying to hit the edge of we're going to be gritty, but they haven't quite gone to a more gritty state yet. So it's like, hey, you guys either need to go gritty or back off of what you're doing, because every once in a while it's really awkward right now and really boring and tedious to listen to this book.
Have you ever read The Stand, a Stephen King book?
No.
Okay.
What's that about?
Post-apocalyptic America, but not really post-apocalyptic. Not like that's supposed to be a twist or anything. It's just our images of what a post-apocalyptic world is now are far graver than what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a miniseries that came, I don't recall what company produced it, but there was a miniseries about The Stand, or that took the story of The Stand. And from everything I've been told, since I don't remember the miniseries at all, it actually takes a lot of liberties. Where like the book is a lot about, I you know, it's probably not good for me to go go into the details of it, because I don't have a firm understanding of what the miniseries is, but it seems like you take one genre and change it into something else that is supposedly more commercial friendly.
Oh.
And as a result, like I think you have fans of one over the other and vice versa. And this might be the same case for you.
I could see that.
But like the TV series actually being more accessible gives it an advantage for your sake, at least.
Maybe. Or it could just be the fact that I saw the TV series first. So I came into the book with pre-notions of like what the characters should be like and kind of what the story's going to be about. And so far, not the same. Not the same at all. Like, ages are different for the characters in the show versus the book. And like, they make more sense in the show than they do in the book. In the books, they're high school students graduating and going to college. In the show, they're graduate students getting accepted into graduate programs.
So it's like a 4-year difference or so?
Yeah.
That's a case where it wouldn't necessarily be bad to have the original character ages, but maybe they did it for the sake of the actor pool that they were chosen from. Like Game of Thrones drastically changed the ages of all the characters, but also just because they didn't want a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds screwing on screen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and they drink a lot, so it could be partially that. Like their drug use and drinking.
Yeah,
they didn't want a lot more teenagers doing it.
Drug showing of drug usage on the show.
Cocaine's perfectly fine when you're 24, but if you're 19 or 18,
cocaine.
Well, they probably just don't want to be showing that on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Encouraging that type of thing.
Encouraging high schoolers. But yeah, either way.
They're magicians doing cocaine. So are we talking about? My next trick is to make this line disappear.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
I know it is.
I don't know. That show, it's like I want to keep watching it, but I have issues with it. It's just, I don't know. Some of it's kind of cliche, and some of the acting's kind of, I don't know. But there is an interesting story, which is like kind of why I think it's kept me going.
It's the only reason I watch things. It's for interesting stories, Lizzie.
Sometimes the dialogue, though, I just can't.
Hey, man, I don't care how bad the dialogue is. Is the premise good? Is the story good?
Ugh.
Let's do it.
But how can the dialogue be bad, but the story's still good, is my question.
The overall premise of the story can be good for a bad dialogued thing.
It just, maybe it goes hand in hand more often than not. Well, okay, no, I take that back, because early Harry Potter is maybe a good example of, like, an interesting premise, but terrible writing. Or not terrible writing, but not great writing, right?
Like, the movies were a little, like,
Harry Potter so much in this podcast.
The Dursleys, yo.
The Dursleys. The puddings were delicious. Harry looked at the puddings. His mouth salivated. She wouldn't have used that word.
But Harry drooled.
They did like kind of create this interesting world, I guess, the magicians. So it's like, I don't know. It's hard to get past some of the stuff. But then other times it's like, oh, you know, that's actually, I don't know. It surprises me because sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that was what they did there was good. But I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Well, so since Cookie, you are now the master of the docket, my crappy phone is surprisingly not connecting. Mm-hmm. We have games up next, am I correct?
We do have games up next.
And who wants to talk about the games they've played this week or in past weeks?
So I'm going to give Lizzie a little something to talk about. We've been playing Call of Duty World War II still. Even more of it. Mm-hmm. The I think I mentioned that the Resistance map pack was coming out last week. Oh, well, not map pack, the Resistance event. So we've been playing a lot of Prop Hunt. It's great. It's so good.
Is this the first time you guys have played Prop Hunt before?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
So we've watched a lot of videos on with Gary's mod of people playing Prop Hunt, which made me go out and buy Gary's mod, quickly realizing that I need to do something in order to play these types of games on Gary's mod.
And so you gave up?
So I gave up.
I'm sure that $5 contribution to Gary's mod, though, was appreciated.
Yeah. I get to watch more content with people playing other things on Gary's mod because I supported it. And that's exactly all that matters. But playing Prop Hunt, I've been like looking at old video footage of the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 remaster. Also had Prop Hunt in it. So I've been kind of like comparing and contrasting a little bit of like what they've been doing. And apparently it's much better now, Lizzie.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
So they've tweaked it just enough to like the whistling and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Tweaks just enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super fun. And like with the infected mode, which used to be on other Call of Duties, we would kind of turn it into basically what Prop Hunt is, where we try to just hide from the infected person, which was fun because it's like a game of hide and seek. But I'm really enjoying it. I think it's fun.
And I guess for those who don't know what Prop Hunt is, it's one team is just regular soldiers with a gun looking for the other team who happen to have props. They can switch between three different props per life. They've got a flashbang and they can set down little clones of themselves. And to help the team that's hunting, every 20 or 30 seconds, every 20 seconds, your prop will whistle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like playing Marco Polo.
Right. Like I had such a good hiding spot one time and this guy literally walked right. He was like right there when I whistled. So he found me and I was like, but other times, like, you'll be out in the middle of, like, you're just, like, out there, like, and you'll be whistling and everyone's looking for you, like, where the hell are you?
And it's like, oh, this tree wasn't here before.
Yeah.
Or this truck wasn't here before.
Yeah.
Just random things.
How is this truck turning at me?
That truck looks sinister.
Sometimes it's hard, though. I feel like you almost don't have enough time to hide. Like, it's like you don't find a hiding spot, and then you're, like, moving around, and they see you. Then you're just screwed.
But, yeah. So we've been playing a lot of Prop Hunt.
Mm-hmm. It's
and fun. And, oh, I guess I mentioned before that last week I said my resolution for the year was to beat one PlayStation Plus game a year. I've already given up on that, guys. I'm sorry.
counter argument.
You made it one whole month. Oh, wait. I've got terrible news for you.
Counterpoint, you could always just beat it at a later time, right?
Correct.
Those games are in your library at this point, and even now, it's technically not February yet. That you need to have that self-imposed time limit.
I was about to say, when does February end? I'm trying to beat Batman Arkham Origins, the Telltale series game.
I've not even seen you play that.
It's usually when I get off work and you're gone, I'll play it because each episode lasts around 2 hours or so. Jeez. So that's just long enough time. And I've gotten through 3 episodes out of the 5. And then this week, Dragon Ball Z Fighters came out, and so did Monster Hunter. So,
and again, to be fair, you could probably finish episodes 4 and 5 at some point down the road. Like it's.
Did you hear me? Dragon Ball Z Fighters and Monster Hunter's out
in a couple months. Let's be fair. I don't necessarily think Fighters lasts too long for you.
It's about 20 hours.
20 hours total. Story, that's what you've put in so far.
That's the story. It's about 20 hours.
Oh, okay.
About 45% through it.
The story.
No, it's got a story.
The story.
It's got a story. As he air quotes.
Everyone fighting. It's a story.
That is, it's Dragon Ball. But yeah, so the story of this game is you're a soul. And you're hopping between the Z Fighters as their powers have been weakened. And you're the only thing that can like unlock their potential. So all like the Z Fighters are weak right now. So you're the soul, and that's how they kind of justify the swapping mechanic. Neil went dead eye on me, Scott.
I mean, so let me get this straight. You are you're like controlling the Z Fighters as an avatar, essentially.
Yes.
We're talking soul, like S-O-U-L. Like you are. Interesting. Yeah, I'm not going to go glossy-eyed on you because I wasn't expecting much out of their story in the first place.
Exactly.
That you would need a story to have a fighter, necessarily. Like, I remember the old Budokai. I think especially 2 and 3, like, had narratives, had story modes that worked for progressing you through, like, harder fights and whatnot. But I just don't feel like that's honestly all that necessary.
They really
like,
missed the mark, classic. Though.
Huh?
They really missed the mark because they could have made like a Yamcha central story, the true hero of Dragon Ball Z.
How is he a hero? He's a loser.
No, he's the biggest loser. He's like actually he's my worse main. Than Krillin.
He's my man.
Yeah, well,
and see,
Krillin's
I respect you for that.
Really great.
Yamcha, through the course of Dragon Ball, gets beaten by a child, i.e., Goku. Gets his woman stolen by Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z, and continues to be a scrub.
And becomes a professional baseball player where all athletes go to die. I'm just kidding,
poor
baseball
character.
Fan.
Baseball fan? Just the one?
Just the one. My dad.
But no, yeah, so been playing a bit of Dragon Ball Z Fighters. When I've got like enough time to just, you know, go one or two rounds because the mechanics are simple and deep enough. So, like, they're simple enough that anyone could just pick it up. All the special moves are just quarter circle forward, fireball. And, yeah. As far as I've gotten to Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Don't they also have, like, a beginner's system for combos?
Yeah. So, you either mash square, or you can mash triangle. Or you can mash circle.
Once I heard that this actually has quarter rotations, I decided to buy Monster Hunter World instead of Dragon Ball Fighters. To reference back to last episode's conversation, I'm really bad at those.
Speaking of Monster Hunter World, that's a game, Cookie, you picked up as well, Lizzie. Mm-hmm. What, do you guys have two copies then so you can play it together then? Or
just one copy so we can play it together.
Because you share it onto one PlayStation and then...
Yeah, so we download the digital version, and Lizzie's got the main PlayStation 4, which means any game that I buy, everyone on the main PlayStation 4 can play, because that's the family PlayStation 4.
But you can play it as long as you're connected to the internet, which
on
is
a different
what you will
4.
Need to play. Like, if you're playing Monster Hunter, you're probably playing it online.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I guess unless you're
Scott. I'm not
doing
that yet, but I probably will. It may be what convinces me to get PS Plus. It depends on, first, how well I can do on my own, which from what I've learned so far about my abilities at the game may not be sufficient.
But that's why you need helpers, buddies. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And two, because I wanna play games online with my good friends.
Yeah,
perfect.
You can, play
you can join the squad. Yeah,
It's like that one time we played Splatoon together. That was a lot of fun.
That one
we're like,
time.
We're totally going to do it again.
I haven't played in a while, actually.
That was that one.
I know. I mean, I was telling, I can't remember if I told you guys or not, but the last time I played with you online was the last time I played Splatoon at all.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I've had any sort of hesitation to buy the PS Plus membership, is I'm like, well, I'm not playing online as much as I could.
Yeah.
If I actually want to utilize it.
Makes sense.
But it sounds like you, Cookie, have probably played the most of Monster Hunter World. It sounds like Lizzie and I have played quite a bit less.
Yeah, I can say I've played more than Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
And is this your first Monster Hunter game?
Nope, played the original Monster Hunter.
Oh, okay. And you have played any others after that or just the original?
I believe like 1 and 2. Perfect.
Okay, so you have a bit of a background on it then.
Yeah.
And how streamlined does this seem compared to the older games?
More.
Like, how accessible do you feel like it is?
A lot more accessible, honestly. Okay,
my eyes so far are glazing over when I look at the menus. And I'm looking forward to getting a greater amount of familiarity with everything and kind of just having a better comprehension about how to tackle the game. But all the prep work, even at the very start, I'm just like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. I'm woefully undereducated about how to do this.
Yeah.
It's okay, because it used to be worse, Scott. It used to be okay. Worse.
I felt they did a really good job of making this one more accessible. I
that's
think
what I've
there's
been hearing and reading,
depth,
but,
though. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of depth.
Yeah.
It looks like. Obviously, I haven't gotten past like upgrade. I've upgraded one weapon, and I haven't upgraded an armor set, but I have the capability to. And I've finished one quest. So like I've done very, very little in the game so far. And part of that is because I spent most of my time just trying to read everything to understand what's going on. And then
So you're in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm in a good spot.
That's actually the right thing to do. Because yes. if you do not do that, at least when I was playing older Monster Hunters, it's really easy to get lost and just give up on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to say, I have been focusing on learning every fundamental I can, because after I went out to hunt my first round of monsters, you have to kill 7 of them, and I ended up in a den with them and just barely made it out. Like, I didn't die. I wasn't super close to death, but I felt like it was only going to take 1 or 2 mistakes for me to get to that point. And so after barely scraping by, I'm like, I need to understand this game better before I fight something bigger than this tiny lizard.
Yes. So I guess I have to ask the question, what weapon are you using?
I decided for that particular fight, I'd use the sword and shield. Okay. Although I like how the bow feels, and the lighter bow gun is pretty cool too. I like the ability to target with the reticle and using a ranged weapon. But I am also looking into using some of the heavier weapons as well, like the Buster Sword, and then there is a hammer, and then there's like an axe sword transforming weapon.
Mm-hmm.
All of those seem interesting to me as well. I will probably never use whatever the bagpipe is. I don't get that.
What? No,
that's actually my second weapon.
It's really good.
You're talking about the one that can give buffs based mm-hmm. on your attacks, right?
I think so.
So whenever I play with whenever I get on with other people, I'll use the bagpipes.
It's probably good to have.
And mine's looks like a giant insect butt.
Is that when you do the firework stuff? Is the bagpipe?
No. Okay. Firework stuff?
Yeah.
No, the bagpipes are the one where I was playing the music and dancing around.
I don't remember that. But maybe I was like focused on trying to live.
Oh, yeah, no. I was using a bow and arrow with you. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, otherwise if I'm going to be like the primary on a hunt, or if I'm hunting by myself, I use the hunter's bow. The iron version.
I also want to ask Neil, you've played Monster Hunter then a little bit as well.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And so people, I see it pop up, and it's a pretty contentious point, but it seems like a lot of people try and compare Monster Hunter to Dark Souls in a way, because you're having a massive one-on-one fight with a monster at some points in time, which is reminiscent of many Dark Souls boss fights. But I found that the way that the weapons work and the controls and just the amount of like item usage is so substantially different. But I don't know if I'd say they're very close comparisons.
I don't think so either. But I would compare Monster Hunter more to Phantasy Star Online, which I know is a game. I don't think it's a game you guys have played.
I played a little bit.
You brought it up, though. I know you have played it quite a bit.
I think the comparison comes in more just based on the general philosophy that Monster Hunter and Dark Souls bosses or Souls games bosses follows, which is, when you're starting out, your first goal is to not get damaged and then deal damage. Don't get hit and hit the boss. But
I think that philosophy looks like it holds true throughout the game, but everything else is, there's a lot more, I think, moving complexity with items in, say, Monster Hunter, where Dark Souls, although there are different weapon sets and types and items that you can use, it's a very slimmed down resistances or weaknesses with elemental items and some use of like the boss arena or space, while Monster Hunter seems to be that same kind of like towering colossus of an enemy versus a smaller fighter with a much larger variety of moving parts in play.
And I would say too that they also both have the natural progression to, once you hit that expert level, you're no longer looking to avoid damage first. You're prioritizing damage output and then trying to mitigate or dodge damage later.
Yeah.
Or after. There's a lot more prep that goes into Monster Hunter. It's for the same reason I hate The Witcher. or not really hate The Witcher, but It's like a more entertaining version of what you need to do to prepare for battles in The Witcher. Whereas in Dark Souls and Bloodborne, like the most you're ever going to do is
just buy
use
those
an item buff.
Very easy to farm an item if you really need to use it.
I like this comparison of The Witcher to Monster Hunter because both do actually require a little bit of reading.
Yeah, The Witcher also has like a very, you could say, complex or large item or inventory management system. And that was something that I found really cumbersome in The Witcher. And I haven't played enough Monster Hunter World to know how I feel about it yet. But I feel almost more receptive to it, just knowing that that is going to be an absolute necessity for me to progress in the game. While in The Witcher, I feel like you could, if you had to, just outskill most of your fights. The one comparison I think I could make with Monster Hunter World and The Witcher, or just something that I was thinking about when I started playing it, is that The Witcher and Monster Hunter both are games in which when I move my character, it doesn't feel quite right compared to other games that I've played recently that have really good movement mechanics, i.e. some of the Dark Souls games, or Metal Gear Solid, or Breath of the Wild. Like, all of those have a movement system that I feel is very tactile, in a sense. You don't feel like you're floating over any part of the environment. If anything, you feel somewhat encumbered by moving through it. But in Monster Hunter, I've found that like your character feels like they're always kind of gliding in whatever direction you put them in.
Or almost like sluggish.
Yeah,
like, well, I want them to do things faster.
You want them to be faster? See, I think that I'm almost too quick for how like varied or rough the terrain in my environment is. And the only reason I'm bringing this up with The Witcher is because we all know that Geralt controlled like a boat, even with the like updated mechanics, where instead of having his momentum put in, which I guess is a very direct contrast to Monster Hunter World, where I feel like you have a consistent momentum at all times.
That's just true. Felt
weird, like moving through the environment and seeing it so diverse and having such different footing and then just floating through everything and climbing too. Like,
hey man, you're an A rank
so fast, which is nice. But
right. For me, I guess it was the fighting. that I felt was slow. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no, I'll agree on the fighting. I think, but I'm totally receptive to that right now, just because I'm not so great at the game that it helps to have both my movement and the monster's movement sluggish enough that neither one of us is just getting locked into their doom. Like, if you make a wrong move, there's at least a bit of a delay for you to reconsider your movement or your actions.
True.
Cookie, do you think the game plays pretty similar to past iterations?
It's a lot smoother than what I actually remember, like, the old games doing. And the fact that you can't do... So, like, in the old games, when you did big hunts, you would always... once you got in trouble, you'd actually just go to the next area, load in, heal yourself, load back up. The big monster was still right there, just as weak as ever, and you can kind of just go with that. This game, not so much.
But you can't escape now, right?
Mm-hmm. You can, eventually. It just takes a lot of running. And our poop.
Yeah, you can hide. You can't abuse the load screen.
Correct. No abusing the load screen.
I mean, is the smoothness that you're attributing to maybe caused by... just the fact that the game's running at a decent frame rate, or a good frame rate, consistent?
Good frame rate, nice, consistent. There's lots of things to be worried about, but I'm trying to think, like, what's the best way to put it? I don't know. Either way, it plays much better than the old ones. I love this game. It's... one thing that I'm really liking about it is the fact that even if you do skip over some things, you don't do a lot of reading, you can still... get around, unlike in fucking The Witcher, me fighting that stupid wraith and being like, I can't kill this wraith. Why not? It's just some random enemy. Stupid wolves. Monster Hunter, I'm like, yeah, I'm the most BA thing in the world over here. Let's do this. Let me just go after something. And then the computer says, no, don't attack that. Just run away. But yeah, so far I do like the combat system, at least for the bow. I haven't used the bagpipe very much yet as of right now, and I tend to stay away from like things I have to sharpen. Seems like too much work. I'd rather just shoot something.
Do you run out of bows?
Of arrows?
You'll run out of arrows.
You'll run out of...
Yeah, no, you just throw a bow as a weapon. Have a quiver full of bows on your back.
Yes.
You run out of different kind of coatings. So whereas you have to sharpen weapons, the bow and arrow and like the guns and things of that nature, you've got different types of ammo types. With the bow, it's different kinds of coatings. I'm just now starting to get into using... some of the upgraded bows that don't just use the power coating, which means now I've got to craft up my own types of arrows that are coated in like blast coatings or sleep arrows and things of that nature.
It's funny thinking to yourself that you don't run out of the arrows themselves, considering how many arrows you shoot in one burst. Have you seen the arrows, Scott, or the bow and arrow?
So I've used the bow, and I know you can shoot, for instance, with like your circle attack, if we're talking PlayStation, you can shoot like three arrows in a wide arc, or like in a cone shape for just your standard circle. And there's a couple other.
Yeah. So if you pull the trigger to shoot the arrow and it just hits circle, you'll shoot an arrow up in the air, but it's actually an arrow with a bag on it. And that bag's full of claptraps, and the claptraps will rain down on the monster for a few seconds.
It's neat.
It's nice. And
then is that what I thought the fireworks were?
Yes. Or you might have thought the fireworks were the wyvern arrow, which is pushing triangle and circle at the same time. You'll take a giant arrow from out of nowhere, scrape it against the ground, charge it up, and then it's like a jet-propelled arrow that does a bunch of damage. But what Neil was talking about was if you just hold the trigger button to shoot an arrow, a full-powered one shoots like four or five arrows.
Yeah. It's like an entire realistic quiver of arrows. It's like, well, time to get another quiver out.
But so far, I'm liking it. I'm doing a lot of hunts. My main issue with this game is experiencing the story with other people.
Oh yeah, I hear that you have to watch certain cutscenes before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have
everyone has to watch
cutscene viewing.
Everyone has to watch all the cutscenes before you can join a hunt with somebody. What that basically means is me and my brother both got this game at the same time and we got on at the same time. So we tried to do the story together. We couldn't. We couldn't because I hadn't seen the cutscenes and neither had he.
And you can't watch them together.
What?
And we can't watch them together. I do like the fact that when you're online, to accept a quest, you actually have to post the quest. So once you post the quest, you can actually post it to either be like a private quest or you can post it and people can actually join in. So the other day I was like, oh yeah, I want to build this specific type of bow. I need to hunt this kind of monster. I'm going to see if anyone's posted any quests where they're hunting that monster. So I just joined in with this random dude from the UK and I was like, hey, I'm still kind of new at this. He's like, dude, this is my first time playing. I'm kind of just going through. Any kind of tips would be nice. And I'm like, yeah. So we kind of just shot the breeze for a little bit. And while we were on the hunt, got distracted, killed a different giant monster, and then got back to the Pookie Pookie hunt. And I was just like, yeah, this is like my third time doing this hunt. I just need one more sack, one more venom sack, and I'll be able to build this item. But yeah, so it's like, mechanically, with the menu system, it's got some weird perks. The combat, even if you go into the tutorial area, it kind of tells you everything, but you really have to like dig for it and find out what's going to be the best for what. You can kill anything you want with any kind of weapon. It's just going to be difficult with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott, when you're on the hunts, always collect every single footprint and like scratch mark that you see about an animal. The more of those you collect, the more information gets dropped off whenever you talk to your herbalist at the base camp. So then they'll tell you,
and then
like,
they tell me this thing has a inner ear problem, and so you can just push it over. We learned this because we smelled its poop several times.
Pretty much. So it'll be most monsters, if you're using a bladed weapon, most monsters' tails can be cut off.
Cut off. Classic. That is another familiarity with Dark Souls then. Always go for the tail.
Break skulls.
The stomach if it's engorged.
As soon as you fight the Great Jargaris, go for its tail can be cut off. No, the Great Jargaris' tail cannot be cut off. Head's its weakness, stomach's weakness. Tail is its weakness, but it can't be severed.
No, so look for, that's one thing that I'm excited to encounter with this game, is like, look for vulnerabilities, because all of these monsters are built to obviously have a diverse array of vulnerabilities and strengths, and...
Yeah. And you can kind of like, you can clearly tell.
How did you know what his weaknesses were? Did it say?
So yeah, it said, but also like whenever he would be engorged or flipped over, if I just shot him in the belly, I was doing a lot more damage.
Oh,
or if I shot him point blank right in his face as he's trying to bite me, it did extra damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then whenever you see the little thing that says broken, so like I broke the Great Jagras's skull.
Oh, wow.
And then like he's like bleeding profusely out of his mouth at this point.
Yeah.
So like the system's built so nicely of, you can tell how much damage you're doing to a monster or like how weak it is by its physical appearance changing. Mm-hmm. One of the hunts, you're fighting this thing that has wings and can fly. You hit it in its wings enough, the wings start having like little holes in it, and it'll change up its movesets because eventually it'll do its like flying attack at you, but it won't get off the ground and it'll fall on its face. So then it'll stop doing that because it's like, oh, obviously this isn't working. I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was reading that they can also show exhaustion, like they can be drooling or something. And that's when a monster's out of stamina. Mm-hmm. So this is really cool. I'm really excited to interact with the monsters. Mm-hmm.
And the more you like just wander around an area, the better understanding you as the player will have as hunting the monster. So like the Great Jagras, I now know if I just see one, it's not going to attack me. I can walk right up to it. It's not going to attack me until I attack it. because it's a docile creature to start with.
We should probably move on from there.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing, Cookie?
That's it.
Great.
Yep.
Lizzie?
Same. We've been playing Call of Duty Prop Hunt a lot, and now we've been playing Monster Hunter now that it came out. I'm really bad about reading tutorials and things. Like, really bad. Like, I just want to be able to, like, jump in and figure it out. Well,
luckily for you, though, you've got Cookie here.
Exactly.
So that's the one saving grace.
It really is. Because otherwise, if, like, I was on my own and I tried picking up this game, I'd be like, nah. Yeah, so, like, my attention span's, like, a little, like, eh. But it's been going pretty well, I think.
It's because it's a game she can collect anything with.
Yeah, I do. I love collecting things, so it definitely satisfies that.
Getting all the armor sets, getting all of the weapons.
Oh, yeah. Not collecting things like that. She just likes wandering around, picking up all the stuff that's on the ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That kind of collecting is what she does. Mm-hmm.
But also a good game for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Cookie, normally if we're playing like MMOs, we'll be like fighting like a dragon, and then I'll be like, oh, there's carrots over here. I got to go get them.
I'm like, Lizzie, everything here can one-shot us. Please don't go away.
But the carrots.
Yes, exactly. My OCD, it's like I have to get everything that I can. So, yeah, that's really awesome that I can collect things in this game. And I am enjoying it so far. I just... we played it for how long the other day?
Yeah, maybe like 2-3 hours.
Yeah, I had to like take a break because it is kind of like a lot at first, like learning all the everything.
But once you get it, it's just all like cut and dry. This is all I need to do. And I guess that's why we say it's more accessible than the old games. Because like after doing like 3 hunts, I was like, okay, so this is the map of the Hub World. This is where I need to go to get this. This is where I need to go to get this. Mm. This is where this thing is. So now when I go to the first hunting area, I'm just like, what am I looking for? Bam.
Yeah.
And the more things you discover, the more your map fills out.
I need to find my weapon. I haven't quite found something that I'm like, yes, you know, so still got to play.
Eventually. So what have you been playing, Neil?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I think I remember all three games. I started playing Overcooked. Oh, don't worry. I'm good.
You just started playing.
Yeah, so I bought a bunch of games on the Humble Bundle Winter Sale, and Overcooked was one of them. And Tiffany and I have been playing that, and that game's difficult.
It is.
As two players, especially.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But we won't have to talk about it too much since we've talked about Overcooked before. It's a fun game.
It is fun.
Is there online co-op?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be it. I wonder if it's cross-platform.
No, I think it's
I don't think it's cross-platform. No, we played with Ray. No, that was only on the couch. Yeah. I don't know. Scott, is Overcooked online?
Doesn't matter. It's fine.
It's fine.
We're going to play more of it. It's
so fun.
It is similar to Cuphead in terms of figuring out, like, obviously the learning curve isn't as high, but... like sometimes you just have to jump into a map and realize, okay, this is the gimmick and this is what we're doing wrong. But
me being right here was a bad decision.
Right.
My only complaint is that at times it seems like two player, some of the maps are really not designed for two players.
Right. Yeah. Like you need like 3 or 4.
The other two games. So I picked up something like 12 games in that sale, but the other two games I had the time to play. The first included To the Moon. I believe that's the name of it. And that is an adventure game that was coded, or not coded. Coded is the wrong word. It was made in RPG Maker XP.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And it's not one of those games where you could tell they completely just ripped out the core engine of RPG Maker. Like they did a lot of modifications using the Ruby scripting system, but not enough to really get over the issues I have with RPG Maker XP. So,
but like, you can make such great games with RPG Maker.
Yeah, and this one, I would say that the writing and the plot in this one are actually pretty spectacular, especially considering like the size of the team. It's the type of game that was made by one person predominantly for the writing and most of the core music, and then there's a handful of other people you know, lending, scripting, programming, and art. A few
other people to put down the maps and RPG Maker XP.
Yeah. but I would definitely say that it's the type of game that is kind of marred a bit by that engine, but at the same time, it really doesn't detract from its core story. The other game I played is, or am in the process of playing, is Night in the Woods. It's the one of someone recommended it, although I've also heard other recommendations. It's an adventure game, much like Oxenfree, in that you play a character returning back to their old hometown after dropping out of college. And all of the characters in this game are anthropomorphized. Is that the term?
Anthropomorphized. Oh man, I'm trying really hard.
Yeah, whatever it is, I don't remember the what the word is, but they're all animals, human animals, humanoid animals. So far, it's pretty charming. Like, I have a few issues with the main character's personality, and maybe that's just I can't tell if it's because I've felt similar in returning back to Hastings a couple years after college. Like, a lot of this game strikes home way more than I thought it would, but the character drops out as a sophomore in college, and then I think to myself, after my second year at UNL, I was like, wow, school sucks. Why am I jumping between five different majors? So a lot of it seems to strike home with me there, especially with like how she interacts with all of these old friends that she really hasn't kept in touch with in those 2 years. It kind of feels weird because, in a way, starting her life at this point does a great job of giving you the impression that she's so disconnected from their lives now. Like, and you are as well as a player, not knowing these characters beforehand. And it almost feels like an invasion of privacy, how you get involved with their problems after being disconnected for so long. But I'll probably have more to say on that once I get further in. Moving on to news, we have a few subjects on the list today. Is the first one...
Surprise, surprise.
BioWare?
Paragon,
oh yes. Epic Games is shutting down Paragon on April 26th, if I'm not mistaken.
So that makes me sad. I forget what the actual date was, and you don't have it.
I don't have it
here,
there, apparently.
But that does make me sad. Paragon actually was a really fun MOBA. Third-person action MOBA, for those who never played it and who will never get to play it now that it's being shut down.
I played it in the really early beta, and I thought it was pretty enjoyable. So that
it's good.
Too bad to hear.
The card system was kind of weird, but everyone's got their gimmick.
Do they have a big following?
Big-ish, but not big enough.
Not Overwatch big.
Right. Mm. If it were big enough, they wouldn't be shutting it down.
Right.
On the bright side, the nice thing is that they are refunding all transactions.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, like, that's a really big deal.
I need to find my Epic, because I actually bought the game.
Your account or whatever?
Yeah, my Epic account, because I actually purchased the game like outright.
Well, and better
well, they
yet,
they aren't refunding the game, are they?
I think they're just doing microtransactions.
Nope.
Is it the game as
Even
well?
Even people who purchased, I read through the thing. So they're like, yeah, if you purchase into the pre-beta, enter in your Epic game account if you did it on PlayStation 4, and we'll refund you. And I was like,
wow.
And better yet, it's not PlayStation refunding you, so you don't have to deal with the middleman. Epic is refunding you directly.
Wow.
Which is nutty and honestly unheard of.
Something tells me that their other game, Fortnite, is going to make up for those losses.
Mm. Yeah.
Is there microtransactions in that?
Yes.
In Fortnite?
Because we got it free, right?
I bought Fortnite, so like we've got the core game.
Like the game that was supposed to be the game before it became a battle royale?
Before they pivoted.
Oh.
So the battle royale came out for free.
But don't worry, they kept their foot on the ground when they pivoted, so it's not traveling. In other news,
sports.
BioWare is finding themselves in an interesting position.
Team changes and urgent expectations for Anthem and a delay.
Yeah, so a lot of these things are coming from sources close to Kotaku. But basically, if Anthem does not perform well, we're going to see, quote-unquote, major shakeups at BioWare. EA owns BioWare, and EA has recently closed down Visceral, as well as acquired, studio that makes Titanfall. I can't think of their name now. I don't have it in front of me.
They bought them?
Yeah, Respawn. Respawn.
Yeah, went through?
Yes, through. And so EA is maybe not known for being the best parent company at this point. And to make matters worse, those same sources basically noted that it's unrealistic for us to see Anthem in 2018. We're probably going to see it in 2019 based on EA's release cycle and what they require, like their early EA access and so forth. Like, it is most likely not showing up in 2018. To add even more interesting developments in, Mark Dara, who is the executive producer of the Dragon Age series, back in 2017 during the summer, he claimed that he had no involvement to Anthem. However, just this past week, he confirmed that he is now the executive producer. And when that actually came into effect, we don't necessarily know, but we can assume it's been for months at this point. But that's a pretty major staffing change there. I'm just curious if you guys think it's realistic for us to say goodbye, or if it's too early for us to say goodbye to Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
Wait, how do you mean too early to say goodbye?
I mean,
I thought they were getting away from single player games and wanting to do a more
but we
MMO
do know
shooting focused game.
We got confirmation that Dragon Age 4, or you know, the next Dragon Age game, is in development. But
did?
That too was also rebooted during 2017, apparently.
Yeah, because they're not doing single player focused things anymore, Neil. It's all multiplayer. You remember the announcement
Visceral. But you know, the online portion of Mass Effect 3 wasn't too bad, nor was Inquisition. So
Inquisition actually was kind of solid.
Yeah, so you would hope that the single player campaign would still be there, or it'd still be a single player game with those iterations.
It's not going to be Overwatchy enough.
Yeah. it doesn't have enough battle royale. With this iteration of Dragon Age,
it's Dragon,
Age Royale. We throw 100 characters into an arena which shrinks due to dragon fire.
That's funny.
Yeah. Apparently there's a... You want to read the next one, Scott?
Sure, I'll go ahead.
Is that the Persona 5?
No.
What's no, the it's the Resident Evil 2 make. Leaks are turning heads after the 20th anniversary passes with no word. Neil, did you source this one?
Yes, I did. There were two separate leaks made. One was on 4chan and one was on Reddit. And
we have the Reddit leak here.
The leak includes, but is not limited to, changes like, oh, I know a bunch of these, don't worry.
Okay, good.
Key changes to the Resident Evil 2 engine, or the typical RE1 through 3 engine, which is the game shifting from that fixed camera angle to over the shoulder or OTS style like Resident Evil 4. We also hear from these leaks that they're taking out extra character campaigns like those like Hunk and Tofu, which I don't know if you've played Tofu before, but you play as a giant piece of tofu.
Never mind. That sounds like a reason I'd actually play Resident Evil.
Yeah, right. In addition, they quote unquote confirmed that not only would you have longer Ada sections, you would also be able to play Sherry, which is the young girl that is playable in Resident Evil 6.
So basically what you're saying is we no longer get to play as a giant slab of tofu, but now we get to play as a little girl.
Who can then throw bricks and do other things like the girl could in Resident Evil 2 Revelations. Resident Evil Revelations 2, excuse me. The biggest issue I have with these leaks, despite the fact that they're Capcom leaks, and Capcom leaks are almost always correct, is that I just don't see the viability behind them taking away one of the biggest features that made Resident Evil 2 so interesting at the time, which
playing
was
as tofu.
Well, yes, of course, that too. But the system of your playthroughs impacting the other playthroughs. So in Resident Evil 1 and 2, you had two characters to choose from. In this case, you had Claire and Leon. If you played as Claire in the first playthrough, that would be called Route A. Leon would then go through Route B. And the changes, if you want to think of it this way, it's like one person has to go down the left path, the other person has to go down the right path. Supposedly this game, or this remake, is getting rid of the Route A and Route B paths. And that also complicates things too, like...
Does that mean that you have to go down both Route A and B, or there's like a...
slightly combined Route C.
Or maybe the two characters just have independent routes to begin with, but which character faces Mr. X? There's just a lot of things that I think are detrimental to what Resident Evil 2, what made that game special to begin with. The other thing that I don't necessarily, that makes me like doubt these leaks, is just based on the fact that we've had two remakes at this point, with Resident Evil 1's remake and Resident Evil 0's remake. And those games are nearly identical in terms of their system, or like their format. They're both fixed camera. And what's stopping them from doing Resident Evil 2 in the same fashion? Because those games both sold very well.
Surprising that you don't believe this, considering... I really like this line that you threw on one of these chats. Considering that Capcom has the most dependable leaks.
Yes, they do. Like I said, their leaks are usually the most dependable, but... it just seems a little too forced this time. I could be wrong. This could be Resident Evil 4, or excuse me, this could be like the Resident Evil 4 version of Resident Evil 2, but... and that it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing either, but I don't know. This might be the first time in a while that we've seen a Capcom leak that is heavily contested turn out to be fake.
Good news is Capcom announced that you can play as Ryu and Sakura on... Monster Hunter. So yay.
Yeah, you get that Aloy exclusive too from Horizon Zero Dawn.
I don't know how to get that.
I don't know even what it is. I just know that it is apparently a reward for buying the PlayStation version of the game.
What? So there was a Japanese survey from Atlas. It's making the rounds with a few curious questions regarding the console demand and older IPs from the Shin Megami Tensei universe, like Soul Hackers and Devil Summoner.
Yeah, so basically, again, this is only Japanese at this point. There has not been an English version to surface, but they're asking fans, what consoles would you be interested in if we were to release these games?
If we were re-releasing a game, what would you be interested in?
And they actually mentioned a Persona 4 remake as well.
They did. Yeah. They also mentioned a Persona 5 Fighters.
Yep.
They mentioned putting Persona 4 on the Switch. Persona 5 dancing, on the Switch.
Another dancing Persona question.
Mm-hmm.
They ask a question about every title that they've had any hands or involvement in.
I think the most curious parts were that they were asking if fans would be interested in any of these games if they were developed by other companies too, because I think they've come to realize that, you know, they don't necessarily have the development teams or the people staffed to actually support all of these IPs they have.
Yeah,
I haven't even heard of half these IPs.
That's how true. Old and neglected they are. But I thought it was interesting, especially given that Persona 5's done pretty damn well, and if you saw that on Switch, I think that would be
I'd repurchase it. Make it.
Yeah.
Did you see question 66 on the sheet?
Which one is that? Because I read them all. But...
66. This is the final question. Do you believe in the existence of the Phantom Thieves of Hearts? Please select the choice that applies best. Phantom Thieves, what's that? There's no way that's possible. Lol. Not even grade schoolers would believe that. The whole heart thing is lame. I think it'd be cool, and I believe in you, Phantom Thieves.
Which are all things that you could read in game.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
And I actually added a little bit of news on the docket while we were calling. So right before we sat down to record, I was reading about
this is good news.
Reading about graphics cards and how they are just ridiculous. Starting to skyrocket in price again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because the mining.
Mm-hmm. And Micro Center.
Bitcoin miners.
Mm-hmm. Micro Center has taken their own little approach to how to deal with the miners. So if you go to Micro Center right now, a lot of their graphics cards are priced ridiculous, just like everywhere else online. But if you actually go into the store, they're selling graphics cards for gamers for cheaper. So they're putting like, they're saying, hey, it, they ring up as this much. Then they say, go talk to the manager. If you're buying like, they're reporting like if you're buying like a bundle. So if you're buying the graphics card with the processor and like a thing that actually says, hey, this is for gaming, they'll go ahead, throw a bunch of discounts on it, get it back down to retail price and even discount it even more after that.
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's good.
And there are also people reporting going just into their Micro Center and just saying, going up to the manager to being like, hey, I'm just upgrading my PC. This is the build that I've got. And I'm just trying to get a new graphics card for it. And they'll do the same thing for you. Yeah. So Micro Center is dealing with this much better than other places by just, you know, having the GTX 1070 and 1080s for $900 to $1,000 right now.
Do they write down their name so that they don't just like come in and tell another manager like, hey, I'm just upgrading?
Yeah, I hope that like this doesn't get abused.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it will. But it's nice to know that they're actually doing something.
They're attempting to.
It doesn't help me here in Omaha.
Even if it's abused, it's one more barrier, which is, that's nice.
Yeah, I would almost say, like, I don't blame the common or, like, the most popular retailers from just jacking up their prices because it's, like, it's market demand at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was Amazoning some graphics cards, and it was an MSI Gaming Force GTX 1070.
And not a TI for that matter, just a 1070.
$945, yep. 49 cents.
It's intense.
That's crazy.
I think I found one for $1,000. Yeah, there's a EVGA GeForce 1070.
Just to think that I bought my 980 Ti, which is pretty much the equivalent of the 1070, for like 300 or a little less than that, 280.
Wow.
Just think, I bought my 1080 for over $100. So retail. I'm actually kind of curious. GTX. Because there's the miners are starting to go after the cheaper cards now as well. So like the
1050s.
The 1050s and 60s are starting to be $600-$700. Gross.
I mean, I too would like to somehow get rich without doing any work.
Right.
But you know, something tells me it's going to be more likely for me to become a shitbag CEO of some company, like some pharmaceutical company, than get rich off of Bitcoin at this point.
I actually looked it up. For my rig that I've got here, it's not economically feasible for me to even start trying to mine on the side.
I don't think it's feasible for anyone unless they actually have a
mining rig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, Bitcoin's one of those things that if you're going to get rich from it, you did that
decades ago.
Earlier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every 4 years, the payout for like successfully processing a blockchain is supposed to halve itself. And so at a certain, like it's, I believe, an exponential decay in that case. And so if you're in for the first time they did it, I think it was a 50 Bitcoin payout. And then 25, 12.5, so on and so forth. So if you were to, say, complete a single blockchain transaction, like validate it, and you got 50 Bitcoin and you just sat on it until now, you'd want to cash out. Like, you'd hang on to it. And if you process it now, I don't remember what the payout is currently, but it's certainly substantially less because Bitcoin started in 2008, 2010. About 10 years ago. So you're already getting a quarter of the payout if you can even compete in validating a blockchain. And there, you obviously get paid in other ways as well. But that is the main way to make money, or that's the highest reward in that particular cryptocurrency.
Well, I'd say if you have questions about Bitcoin, you can contact us at...
Don't ask us. Do not ask us.
At fancyramen.com. Gentlemen, I've had an excellent time. Lady and gentlemen, I've had an excellent time recording this episode of Fancy Ramen with you guys.
But before you're done having a great time, remember to go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Neil. But we're going to ask our listeners to do it, you should have to do it too.
And honestly, if we're asking our listeners to do anything, we're really just asking them to tell a friend about the podcast. The best way to help us grow is to help us grow our numbers. Get more people interested.
Introduce them into the hive mind.
Yep. Talking to you, Dave. Yeah. You got this.
Well, I've had a blast with you, Neil. Now we can say goodbye.
Just Neil, huh?
Oh.
And my wife just called you out.
And I'm leaving this call.
Get your white cisgender normalcy out of here, Scott.
All right, I will.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next. Don't check our Twitch, right?
Don't check our Twitch. That failed miserably because someone forgot his computer.
Well, I mean, do we want to keep streaming or attempting to stream that anyways? I don't know.
I'll keep streaming it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then check our Twitch.
Yep.
Later.
I'm Cookie.
I'm Neil.
I'm Lizzie.
I stopped recording, so I'm Scott.
Later, everybody.